Hey babe, it's Ezra. Welcome to Two Queers, Five Books, an outgrowth of our other gay Jewish podcast, Two Queers, Four Questions, in which we took a look at all the Jewish holidays. This time around, we're looking at the weekly Torah portion and finding out what we might say about it, how to dance with it, how to fight with it, and ultimately how to love it as our own. Thanks for joining us. Hope you enjoy. Parashat Vayishlach. How does Israel approach an enemy? I'm asking a spiritual question. I'm not asking a logistical or a tactical question or even a political question. How does Israel approach an enemy? Logistics and tactics and politics have something beneath them, core values, elemental questions of what is valuable, what is doable, what is believable, and who we are. This question of how a member of the in-group approaches someone outside that group is possibly the key theme of the book of Genesis. It's Abraham against the world, Isaac struggling to make peace with the Plishtim, Jacob versus Esav and Laban, Joseph and his brothers hating one another until they encounter the overwhelming power of Egypt. At the beginning of our parsha, Jacob is still only named Jacob. Since birth, his name has carried the baggage of his adversarial relationship with his brother Esav. He is a heel clutcher. He is a trickster. He grabs and he hoards and he deceives and he gets his way. But so much has happened since he last saw his brother. He has been away for years in Haran. He has married two women and fathered many children. He has put up with an abusive father-in-law and become very rich and successful. And he has encountered God. He has held on to a private covenant with God, that God will protect him and eventually deliver him home unharmed, and that Jacob will be devoted to God in all that he does. And now he's coming home again. He has not seen his brother since Esav swore to kill Jacob for deceitfully taking the family blessing that Isaac intended for Esav. He doesn't know where their relationship stands. But when he sends messengers toward his destination, they find that Esav is coming toward Jacob with an army of hundreds of men. Jacob panics. Vayira Yaakov me'od vayetzer lo. Yaakov became exceedingly afraid and was distressed. There's a famous midrash from Bereishit Rabbah on this line. Why is this expression of anxiety doubled? What does "and was distressed" add when you already have Yaakov became exceedingly afraid? The answer, he was afraid that he would be killed, and he was distressed that he might have to kill someone else. He is faced with the terrible situation of balancing his own safety against his deepest ethical commitments. Maybe this reminds you of something contemporary. So what does Jacob do? First, he begs God for protection, and then he makes hasty arrangements to avoid the worst possible outcome. He sends a giant gift of livestock toward his brother's army. The sun goes down. Jacob sends his family away from him for their own protection and spends the night alone, in terror of what might happen in the morning or even sooner. In this moment of total vulnerability, Jacob is transformed. And Yaakov was left alone, and a man, Ish, wrestled with him until sunrise. We do not know who this man is. The wrestling match is intense. The man dislocates Jacob's thigh, but Jacob eventually pins him and won't let him go until the man blesses him. The blessing he receives is this: no longer will your name be spoken as Yaakov, Jacob, but rather as Israel, Israel, for you have struggled with God and men and have prevailed. This is very confusing. Did Jacob just wrestle with a man or with God? If this was a battle with God, why did the text refer to God as a man whom Jacob was able to physically overpower? And why would God attack and injure Jacob? But a few verses later, now walking with a limp, Jacob reinforces the divinity of the encounter. Yaakov called the name of the place Peniel, face of God, because I have seen God face to face, and my life has been saved. Jacob approached his enemy with intense fear of retribution for all he has stolen, frantically pitting safety against ethics. But how does Israel, the Jewish spiritual namesake and role model, approach an enemy? Israel was attacked in the middle of the night and permanently injured, and the attacker was God. And now we see that he has been changed, that he is starting to become worthy of a new name. It was unclear at first whether the lavish valuables he sent toward Esav were purely out of self-protection or freely intended as a gift. Perhaps this gift was meant to buy his safety, just another clever act of self-preservation, with no spiritual progress really made since his days of manipulation and theft. But when Esav and Yaakov finally do embrace, when they make peace, or at least cease fire, Israel's true intentions become clear. When Esav graciously tries to refuse the gift, Yaakov speaks the key lines. Vayomer Yaakov, Al na im na matzati chen be'enecha, velakachta min chati miyadi, ki al kein ra'iti fanecha kir'ot pnei Elokim vatirtseni. Yaakov said, No, I pray, please, if I have found favor in your eyes, then take this gift from my hand. For I have seen your face as one sees the face of God, and you have accepted me. Here we hear a direct echo of Abraham's ambiguous encounter in Parshat Vayera. God appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day, and he raised his eyes and saw there were three men standing over him. When he saw them, he ran to meet them from the entrance to his tent and bowed low to the earth. Vayomar, Adonai, im na matzati chen be'inecha, al na ta'avor me'al avdecha. And he said, My lords, Adonai, I pray, if I have found favor in your eyes, singular, your eyes, please do not pass by your servant, again, in the singular. Did Abraham meet God, or did he meet three strangers, or both? Or are these meetings somehow one and the same? The confusion of human and divine is directly parallel to Jacob's story, as are the phrases Alna and Imna matzati chen be'inecha, if I have found favor in your eyes. Jacob, speaking to Esav, then concludes, Kach na et birchati, asher huvat lach, ki chanani Elokim, v'chi yesh li chol, v'yivtsar bo v'yikach. Please, take my blessing that has been brought to you, because God has shown me favor, and because I have everything. And he urged him, so he took it. This from the man who once impersonated his brother to fool his father and take the family blessing. At this point, he knows he is safe and that Esav meant him no harm. He could have kept all the wealth, but he needs Esav to take the blessing back. Return of stolen property heals not only the offended, but the offender. When we propose returning stolen land to indigenous people, such as the Massachusetts Pawtucket and Nam Keag lands I am on right now, it is because we seek healing for all of us. When one proposes to repair the damage wrought by one's own actions, such as the IDF's catastrophic bombing and starving of Gaza, or Hamas's campaign of murder and terror. It is for the sake of not only material restitution, but spiritual health. We seek to repair the values that have underlined our actions. I have seen your face as one sees the face of God. Please take my blessing. I have everything. The secret of Jewish spirituality is that the face of the enemy is the face of God. Hoarding and theft are unnecessary because if we have this knowledge, we have everything. Is it possible that the enemy, created in the image of God, hates us, is coming to attack us in the night, wants to hurt us? Yes. Yes, it is possible. They are a vision of divinity anyway. The line between human and divine is blurred. You can't find it. We are to treat each other accordingly. Shabbat Shalom.